Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
Now, one of the things in the post game yesterday that Brian Schottenheimer said, he has no doubt that they have the personnel to run Eberflus' defense. Do you feel that same way?
Yes, I do. I think, this just comes down to execution. And we've got to continue to be more consistent. And we can certainly do it. I think this is a work in progress. I think, obviously, we got a lot of work to do on the defensive side of the ball. It goes without question. We got work to do on the offensive side. In terms of running the ball yesterday, we didn't win the line of scrimmage. We got out physical and but yes, I believe we got the personnel, and we just got to continue to go to work every day, and we've got to execute, and we've got to be a lot more consistent. We've shown at times this year we can stop the run, but yesterday certainly was an issue, and hell, we got called out before the game, and we didn't do a lot about it, so we got work to do.
Now, if y'all have the right personnel in place, you need to execute better. Can you walk people through, myself included, why you think Matt Eberflus's defense is the right one for this team and this personnel?
Well, I think it's a work in progress. There's no question. Matt Eberflus has been a very successful defensive coordinator in this league. He was really good when he was here. He was really good at Indy to the point where he got a head coaching job at Chicago and then had really good defenses there. It's a matter of our guys executing the defense. Probably going to be some give and take in there, and us doing more and more of what our guys may do better in terms of how it works with what he's doing. And, it's just one of those things where we have to continue to go to work every week and get better. And but we've got to get better in all three phases. Right now we're not good enough to go out there and consistently play at a winning level, and we've got to get to that point.
You know, Stephen, I'm not suggesting this, and I have seen a lot of texts about it, and I'm kind of curious, how much of a step backwards would it be to change a defensive coordinator right now?
Guys, we're worried about getting to work, going to work this week, and, getting better each week so that we can be more consistent and execute. And we feel like, as Coach Schottenheimer said, we've got good personnel, and I think we're going to evolve into a good defense. We just have to continue to go to work.
And a lot of talk after the game yesterday, and you kind of mentioned it just a couple of minutes ago, a lot of talk about physicality after yesterday's game. Where does that, in your mind, where does physicality start?
Well, I think it starts in the trenches, and that's where we didn't execute yesterday, either side of the ball. They ran the ball, in a strong way, and they were able to stop our run, and we've been able to run the ball physically and good all year, but we didn't get the job done yesterday, and certainly we didn't stop the run. And that's not what Coach Schottenheimer at the end of the day is all about. He preaches week in and week out, we've got to win the line of scrimmage, and yesterday we didn't do that. Hats off to the Panthers. They've got a physical line on both sides, and we didn't get the job done.
When you describe being better with the execution, how big is communication as part of execution? Because Wanye Thomas talked about it yesterday, and are you alarmed at all that communication still seems to be a pretty big issue after six games?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're not playing well is alarming. I mean, our goal here is to play championship caliber football, and communication and execution go hand in hand. You got to be communicating well to execute, and certainly that's a part of the lack of execution at this point. But we've got to continue to go to work every day, chop wood, and I'm convinced that we'll get better. And we're doing a lot of things well on the offensive side of the ball, and at times we've played the run well on the defensive side of the ball, and we just have to continue to go to work every day and execute.
You point out playing good on the offensive side of the ball. I think we were all kind of concerned when CeeDee Lamb got hurt, but is George Pickens raising his value around the NFL by every single week?
Sure. I mean, if you turn on the tape and you like to watch people throw the ball around the yard and receivers make great plays, he's doing it at the highest level. And certainly Dak's playing at a high level. And, you know, this is the first time we hadn't run the ball well, but we've been a well-rounded offense. And, you know, we'll get CD back. That's certainly going to usually helps you when you bring back one of the best receivers in the league. And bring back Terp, he'll help in two ways. He'll help our offense and he'll help our return game. And we just got to continue to go to work every day and get our hands around how we can play the best defensive football. And certainly Flus has been an established coach in this league and have a lot of confidence that he'll get the job done.
I might use the wrong word, Stephen, here for this, because pressure is the only real word I can think of at the moment. If you can come up with a better one, let me know. But when Dak is playing this well, does it feel like it puts more pressure on everybody, even yourself, like to make sure you don't waste this kind of a season from a quarterback that's at this level?
No, I think at the end of the day, I'm sure Dak would tell you that, the job of the offense every time they get a possession is to take advantage of it. We have to move the football and get points, and regardless of what's going on the other side of the ball. So, no, I don't think there's added pressure in terms of, the offensive side of the ball.
I know.
Feel good about our football team. I think, we're early on, and we've got to continue to go to work. We understand what's ahead of us, and we like this team. We just got to, execute better, and we got to be more consistent. And I think good things will happen to this team.
When you say it's early on, is there a particular point in the schedule when you don't think it's early anymore?
No, I hadn't thought about that. We think about things around here. When you come to work every day, you think about the task at hand. The task at hand now is our next game. And we don't think about the season as a whole. We think about the next game.
He almost always speaks after each game. Do you have any idea or any insight about why Jerry didn't speak with the media after the game yesterday?
You'll have to ask Jerry that.
Steven, how important is Kevontae Turpin to your return game? Right there before halftime, it did kind of look like there was a little bit of confusion. It just seems like he's a calming presence when he's out there.
Well, he's an all pro as a returner, so I would say he's pretty important. And it'd be like asking, is Aubrey, Brandon Aubrey, important to the kicking game? Yes. When you got great players at a position and they're not out there, you're not going to be as good. I mean, he's considered one of the best in the business, and it'd be great to get him back.
You know, you kind of make that on Aubrey right there before halftime. Also, I was a little frustrated. There was about 17, 20 seconds there. And I was a little frustrated they knelt it out. And because this team does need to score, it does need to put points on the board. Did you question that at all? Or were you okay with that?
No, I'm okay with that. Considering where you are and how much time's on the clock, I totally understand it.
You had said last week you were hoping maybe perhaps in 2 weeks you could see more returns. I know it's only Monday, so it might be too early, whether it's Booker, Lamb, Turpin. What are the early feelings about perhaps their availability against the Commanders?
Yeah, I think they have a chance. Certainly, the end of last week, we were felt really good, and we'll see what the week brings, that they were going to be able to start working in and see if they would be able to go, all three of them, Booker, CD, and Terp. So we'll see what this week brings, and hopefully they'll have the opportunity to be able to play, but we also understand they've got to be able to play.
I know you were talking about, you know, chopping wood and going to work hard every single day, and I don't think people are questioning that at all. But do you get annoyed when people like us ask questions about Eberflus's job security?
No, that comes with our business. I mean, y'all have the, and should, you represent the fans, you're in the media, and you have the right to ask hard questions, especially, you know, when we're not winning football games. Certainly, our goal is to go out each week and win the game. That's the most important thing, and we have to focus on that. And certainly, if we don't, then it's very fair that we get asked hard questions.
And we'll try not to ask them like a bunch of a-holes. You know, we'll do our best.
Oh, my gosh.
Just be nice. You know, we're trying to do a good job here. Stephen.
Well, from my judgment today, you're lacking.
Okay. Oh.
Hey, I am.
As long as you agree, that goes both ways. All right.
I get to have an opinion.
We could all have some fun with that. The DeMarvion Overshown, I was kind of curious over the weekend about when he does get active or everything kind of opened up, would that be kind of a immediately he would be back on the field as soon as possible? Or is it kind of, no, we're going to take the full 21 days to make sure that he's ready for that?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
With DeMarvion Overshown.
Overshown, okay,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, his return down the road.
Think, you know, obviously with him not having any camp, any work at all, and other than his rehab work, certainly it's going to take, I don't expect him to come back to practice the first week and go to work. We obviously could have started working him if we felt he was ready to work in practice. We could have started the clock on him if we felt like he was going to go day one. So, yeah, I expect there to be some weeks that he's getting acclimated to playing football.
Okay.
Y'all did open up the window for Carson and Mingo. I know they were ruled out for the game yesterday. How are you feeling about their progression? Because obviously there is a limit to their window.
Yeah, I feel like both of them will be ready to go this week. Mingo and Carson, they should be activated this week.
All right. Appreciate the time very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you next Monday.
Thanks a lot, guys.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. So.
I'm confused. Did he say we were lacking in a-holeness?
Yes. So he did that the questions were phrased like a-holes. And that's why I was like, can you agree that that goes both ways?
And then he laughed and said, high five. All right.
Okay.
He Jackson Dart high-fived you there.
So. If you are looking for, and I know today it is tough.
Yeah.
If you're looking for any semblance of positivity, Carson and Mingo looks like they're on track to be good to go for the Commanders with Booker, Lamb, and Turpin, all viable possibilities to be ready to go for Turpin as well. I mean, for the Commanders as well. And then to the other point, it sure as hell sounds like, since we directly asked the question, that there is no chance for them to switch their defensive coordinator right now.
Oh, and that was, I mean, seriously, that I wanted to know the answer to that. He did kind of move around it a little bit, but how much of a setback is that? Like, or is it not? You know, maybe it isn't. Maybe somebody has an answer out there. But I feel like, if out of nowhere they were like, Kevin, you're no longer part of this show, it's Corey and somebody else now, there would be a setback to this thing.
Right.
You know, so I feel like that would be the case, but maybe somebody has an answer out there. But they're protecting, man. Like, they want to protect this guy because for two reasons. One, I think because they did trade away a player that their coach probably came here thinking, I got that guy. And then they're just not good right now. And they're like, we have no other option.
Look. From Jerry last week, from Steven last week, and
I don't
from
know
Steven
how much
today.
It would help to throw him under the bus publicly, right?
Like, yeah.
So I get that.
And especially since it's been six games. I might not agree with it. You might not agree with it. But what just got said, it's still early, although Did not get a definitive answer for when it stops being early.
You know, that's interesting because remember we asked Boach that a long time ago and he gave us a date.
Yes.
You know, so I get that.
So it's still early, and also they think that they have the personnel, and that's something that we talked about last week, not only to run this defense, but to make the playoffs. So whether I agree, disagree, I disagree. It doesn't matter because you just got told again, and it's going to happen tomorrow morning again with Jerry, because I know Sean and RJ and Bobby are going to ask about that. They believe it. Do I think that is big picture wrong? Yes, I do. I will let you know when I get put on the payroll to make some of these decisions.
Hey, dude, seriously, if you get put on the payroll, can I get a little of that cash?
Yeah, then you can fire me from the show. Okay. And I'll be like, that's fine. But yeah, look, regardless of what I think, regardless of the questions that we all just asked, you just heard, they think they have the personnel to run this defense. They think, and this goes back to last week, and I think teams do this all the time, not just the Cowboys, but all teams. They put too much credence in the good and not enough credence in the bad. Mm-hmm. And you heard we've been able to run the ball. We have been somewhat successful at stopping the run. They gave you all the positives that have been happening. The Cowboys believe they can still make the playoffs, and that is the direction that this team is going to go for at least the next month. Whether you like it or you don't like it, and I don't, that's what's going to happen.
Yep, that is.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, ooh, this should be fascinating. Dallas Cowboys thank you and no thank you notes after an embarrassing defeat, but also, hey, at least the stars are good. Next on The Fan.
Back under center, Young, half roll to the right. Nealon swung and missed. Throw it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The end zone, wide open, touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. No thank you note to Tet McMillan, who had zero touchdowns all season and then was like, I'll get a couple.
I do have him on my fantasy team.
So you're glad he scored those touchdowns? Do you want to go on record saying that?
I ended up getting my first loss this year, so it really was a wash, Kevin.
But if you would have won, would you have been glad he scored those touchdowns?
You know, I don't deal in hypotheticals. I got to come into work every day.
That is smart.
Execute what I have to do.
All right. We only got executed 8 times.
That's actually
in the first three minutes.
You thought a record was going to be set?
I thought 15 for sure.
Well, I mean, that's actually less than I thought.
Yeah.
I really did
thought. No, I agreed. Yeah. All right, Dallas Cowboys, thank you and no thank you notes. All right, I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of no thank you notes in here. Thank you to everything that George Pickens was doing. George Pickens caught a 6 touchdown pass of the season. That's a career high. And the game took place on October 12th. So good for him. Looks like he should shatter his previous career high.
Of what?
Of 5.
He will.
Yes. And then also, thank you to George Pickens for that hurdle. Was it true while that was happening, I was a little concerned at how loose he appeared to be with the ball? Yes, but it looked super cool and it worked the first time.
I believe...
second time I was like...
I believe Brad and Babe definitely were concerned about how loose he was holding
okay,
that ball.
Because he was just kind of flailing it around.
I want to say thank you to George Pickens as well. Kevin, we watched the play that I think was resulted in like a 6-yard gain where he fell down, got back up, got the catch, braced for impact, didn't get hit, turned around, saw no cornerback was actually going to hit him, and then said, I'm going to take off running. And then got to a cornerback and said, now let me jump over you, and didn't quite jump over him. And somebody tweeted that he's objectively hilarious, and it was. Like, that was a that was a hilarious moment in football, but at the same time, you see the athleticism and the confidence in that man.
Alec, did you also think, as Corey said, it was a hilarious moment in football?
Yeah, I told you guys I was sitting at a Pluckers and the entire place just erupted in laughter. Yes. It wasn't even like, yay, we did a good thing. Like, the offense is moving the ball. It is just, he is so funny for no good reason. I love this guy.
I like the way he said that. It was a fun moment. Listen, dude, with CeeDee Lamb out, you're seeing what George Pickens is capable of, why they got him, just in case, a backup situation, sure. Just in case. And he can be a one on this team. They call really good routes for him. You wish they would go to him in bigger moments too. Like you pointed out, that fourth quarter, these drives, what are we doing here? But he's definitely been a positive for this Cowboys team, especially in the absence of CeeDee Lamb. I don't know how they manage it when he gets back. We discussed this about balance for balance's sake rather than what the game asks of you.
Right.
And I don't know exactly how Schottenheimer is going to decide to balance that out when you have two really good receivers like that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not certain about that either. By the way, thank you note to Xavier Legette for that ridiculous so-called lateral. Oh, yeah, it was a lateral, even though it went forward. Don't worry about that. I thought that play...
So was John Mateers.
...was ridiculous, but I also, unfortunately, no thank you note to the Cowboys for being incapable of picking up the ball when it was on
the ground. Dude, what happened, man?
Twice!
You need to practice that.
Now to the no thank
go
you.
Go thud notes. Up on the fumbles.
Yes. No thank you for the first play. Because I've now decided that the first play, Mike Bassick style, will dictate what I think will happen the rest of the game. I will always go back to this. We were at the owner's box in Dallas watching the divisional playoff game between the Cowboys and the Rams. First play, Rams run it for like 9 yards. Mike leans over to me and he goes, hey, we're going to lose.
Why?
And so.
You know what? That's on him. His negativity towards their game that day.
His first play theory has worked the last 2 weeks. First play against the Jets, and it was immediately a pressure. What happened all day? You got pressure on the quarterback. You dominated the game. What was the first play yesterday? It was an 8-yard run by Rico Dowdle. And you saw that play again about 14 more times. And so that play spelled the end of the game. I just didn't know it yet.
Then I will throw that no thank you out to the Cowboys offensive line.
Oh my dear goodness. Yes.
Guyton wasn't that great. Dak's smartly getting rid of the ball. Like that's one of the things, Kevin, since the Packers game, I think we've been noticing that Dak's just making sure the ball's getting out.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the biggest factors in his success this season is not getting caught behind the line of scrimmage, holding on, trying to make a play happen. He's just like, I gotta move with this thing. But the offensive line's inability yesterday to really even get a running game going was poor. And so my no thank you note has got to be definitely in there because that balances out the offense. Late in the game, the Cowboys have options. If you're in a close game like that, you still have options. You don't have to pass so much. And maybe that's a little bit differently called if Schottenheimer believes they can run it late.
Now I'm going to go broad. Alec, I'm going to go to you after this. I'm going to go broad with a no thank you note to the defense and then be specific.
I don't think you're supposed to call ladies that anymore, Kevin.
It was not about a lady. What's the male equivalent of like an outdated term of like a broad that you're not supposed to say?
They didn't say things about men like that back then.
Oh.
You know, we were just men.
You know, let's keep trying to do better.
They were broads society. And dames.
Oh my gosh.
Old birds.
So.
Not anymore though, Alec, because we've changed.
You know how women are.
Okay, PJ, watch. That doesn't help out our argument. And don't play the mic one either because that definitely doesn't help our argument. All right. I told you the first play of the first half defensively was bad. Well, the first play of the second half defensively was worse is a 34-yard pass to Jimmy Horn. That was the longest play of the game at that point, although Rico Dowdle would surpass that later in the half with the longest reception of his career.
Well, good for him.
No, what? Not good for him.
Yeah, you can't because, be happy for him.
No, I can't because it happened against my team, including Rico Dowdle was the first undrafted free agent since the merger to have back-to-back games with 200-plus scrimmage yards. The merger was 55 years ago.
Are you sure?
Yes.
And that's when football began.
That's not when football began.
We're going to get it one day.
But can we talk about one more really stupid offensive play?
Yes.
And I don't care how well you can execute it. I will never support this play. The Cowboys, after they gave up the longest reception of Dowdle's career, they had a 3rd-and-1 on the ensuing possession. I can't stress enough that it was 3rd-and-1. They pitched the ball to Javonte Williams 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Why?
I've seen teams, Kevin, have success with that play. Okay?
Don't you still hate it, though?
Probably against the Cowboys. All right?
That is true.
But for some reason, in the entire history of the Cowboys, the pitch just has never felt like it worked for us.
Yeah.
The toss. Like, it has always felt like it was... We don't have the offensive lineman speed to get out there. I have no clue what it is. It just has felt like it doesn't work for us. But I'm with you, man. Don't do that. Let's get plays that are going forward a little
more. Yeah, look, if it's 2nd-and-12 and I'm like, the hell with it. Let's see something. But if it's 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, don't pitch the ball that far back. I'm not kidding you. It went 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Kevin, forgive me if this has already been kind of discussed, but is there a thank you note for underdog and playing the over on yards against the Cowboys?
There should
with
be.
Their quarterback?
Here's what you do. You focus in on maybe you thought Tet McMillan would get more than half a touchdown yesterday. Maybe you thought Bryce Young would go over his passing yards. But
even though your fandom tells you one thing, it doesn't mean that you can't have common sense.
I actually think this is the perfect way to do it. All right. I hedge my bets emotionally with money.
You did this with Mike all the time.
That's how when Tom Brady made a stupid run, fluky run to the Super Bowl, I was like, well, at least I won $300. Hedge your bets. So Underdog will be like, you know, pick your favorite
money for
players.
Your emotion. And
disagree. Pick your least favorite players who are going against your team. And you're like, hey, I hope. So I'll give you an example. I did a $10 play on Florida to win straight up against Texas A&M on Saturday.
Okay.
Because I was like, if Texas A&M loses, it wins, then I'll lose $10. Easily worth it. Best start in 9 years for that team. But if they lose, I'll be sad, but at least I would have picked up $50.
Okay. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I think you should hedge like that. Alec,
hedge your emotions.
Outside of daily fantasy plays, what are your thank you and no thank you notes?
I've got a thank you note, surprisingly, but trust me, it's not going to go where you think. I want to thank Jalen Cropper and the rest of the special teams unit. The reason I would like to thank them is for making me really realize how good Kevontae Turpin is at his job.
No joke, man. That first one, like I know the second one, they just missed it. The first one, I don't think they were going to go get the ball.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, Nimrod, go get the ball.
And Steven mentioned it, you know, he's an all pro. So people look at him and say, oh, good player. But, you know, we watch him every week. So we almost become numb to the field position that he can give you without scoring a touchdown, right? Everybody goes crazy whenever you see the kick return touchdown, but you kind of take for granted the field position that he does give you when he's not scoring or when he's not doing something crazy. It made me realize if Turpin is returning these kicks and if he's involved in the offense, a totally different conversation, you're probably in a lot better position before you even touch the football.
Yeah.
So then maybe in some of those situations where your play calling offensively wasn't perfect, you're working with a shorter field and you don't make some of those decisions in the first place. So it made me realize that he's really, really good at what he does and he's an all-pro for a reason.
And yeah, Cropper dropped a punt too. It was that their special teams from the return aspect was a catastrophe yesterday. Can I throw out one for Javonte Williams?
Yep.
That's about a very specific play. Javonte Williams doesn't pick up a block on 2nd-and-goal.
He didn't even
really, I guess he kind of tried to chip by going for the feet. That was, a completely ineffective play. And so because he doesn't pick up the block, that led to a rushed incompletion in what ended up being eventually a field goal on a game that it's not hard to see you desperately needed a touchdown. And so Javonte Williams, I know Steven talked a lot about it. We've already talked about how poor this run game was for the Cowboys yesterday. But that play in particular, man, that might have cost you 4 points.
Yeah, you can't go into it halfway.
No.
None of that at all.
And he's been super physical. Yeah. But that play, I thought, was a giant miss.
That's one of my concerns, is the possibility of him wearing down. I mean, you're early in the season. You already have a lot of carries, but the possibility of him wearing down because you don't have a backup, really. Like Jaden Blue right now, Kevin, no thank you to Jaden Blue. He wasn't good. And so
he looks kind of slow.
He doesn't look like an NFL player right now, honestly. He looks timid. He looks scared. He looks like he doesn't want to get hit. And the slow part, like you've been speed.
Yeah.
Well, and I know the holes have to be there for it, and maybe not gaping holes like Mickey was saying for Carolina, but the holes got to be there. But he's still got to be able to, you know, wriggle his way through them.
And you know what? And I've always had issues with when they say we just got to get him in space, and I'm like, can that person create any of their own space? Like, that's going to be something about, like, if we're talking about basketball, Cooper Flagg. You have to be able to create some semblance of your own shot. And so Jaden Blue looks like he's slow on the first step. So if you want him to create space to be gone, can he do that at all himself?
I don't know. Maybe he's just not comfortable in it yet, and it's going to take him time. But Cowboys don't have time right now. You know, like, they got to move quickly. Thank you note to John Cena and the Peacemaker show. I really enjoyed it. No thank you to the movie Honey Don't.
Oh, I thought you were going to say no thank you to their season finale.
Ah.
But yes, thank you to his match with AJ Styles.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was a love letter to pro wrestling that was delightful.
That's right.
They wrote a letter physically wrestling?
Mm-hmm. It was delightful.
I don't understand how that works.
People held up their phones. It was lovely.
If you're a fan, you can read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're fluent in this, Corey.
And it might hit you right in the feels.
Mm-hmm. Shed a tear.
You know what, dude? I want to laugh at that, Alec. But I get it. I don't think Kevin gets it, because Kevin has no emotions. But I get it. Yeah.
I've gotten really good over the years at processing the emotion people want me to feel. I can tell in instances that I was like, I can tell how you want me to feel.
So I will attempt to feel that way.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
By the way, I know we've talked ad nauseum about how far they were off on fourth and four, but I continue to say no thank you for Trayvon Diggs for lagging way too far off in coverage. Like, I still think it's a matter of, I don't know if it's mental or physical, but he does not have faith in his ability to certainly catch up and maybe not even run alongside the receiver. And so I think he's lagging way too off, giving up easy catches at a time when Lord knows this defense gives up lots of easy catches.
Yeah, Bland's having some of those, like, moments too where you're like, man, and maybe it is the defense is asking this of him. I don't feel like that's their strength.
Yeah.
I feel like what we know of their strength is completely different from what we're seeing them being asked to play. The pairing is bad.
All of a sudden, I'm having a brain fart. Was it Ezra Raku who had the punch out
I know we talked about. Okay. Because I was like, I thought it was Azarako. And then all of a sudden I was like, could it have been Leofau? Well, you got another punch out. But like we said, couldn't pick up either of those off of the Doubtal one. Okay. I might have just written it down in my notes wrong. And then I did want to give one more thank you note to Dak Prescott. I think this is the kind of throw everybody wants their quarterbacks to be able to make. That touchdown pass to Ferguson, right when he was about to break, it felt like Dak saw it and goes, oh yeah, we got this. Because he knew, like, you know what the route is to begin with. But he also saw the way Ferguson was playing the coverage. And when he was going to break out, I believe, to the left, he was like, well, there's no way his defender can travel with him like that, especially if I lead the ball where I need it to be. And he did exactly that. I thought that touchdown pass was a thing of beauty on a day when obviously we've been complaining a lot. I want to just
the other pass to Pickens that went right over the cornerback's hands.
Oh my gosh.
Pickens, you know, because he's such a big long receiver, he was able to make the grab on that, but Dak.
That was the jump play too, right?
That he caught it and then jumped?
Yeah.
Dak placed that perfectly though, you know? And like, again, if you don't like Dak, that's fine. I understand you can say, you know, he hasn't done anything. What I'm watching right now this year is exceptional, man. 11 touchdowns, no 11 pass/rush touchdowns, no turnovers in three game span where he didn't win. Which I believe Todd Archer said is like another historic thing that's happening.
I mean,
he's the first one to ever do it. And he's like, he's playing well. He's doing the right things.
Yeah, I would. And if we can, one more thank you note to Reddy Steward for the 3rd and 2 stop. The Panthers on the first drive led to a field goal. And I know eventually in the grand scheme, it didn't help you get the win. But I thought that was a good way to start the day.
Yes. Thank you for being ready.
Steward. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Alec, let's try to cheer things up. Can you go ahead and give me cut 15? Because at least this Metroplex team is looking good.
The Stars will race forward. Niels Lundqvist. Lundqvist, the backhand pass. Rantanen delays. Back for Harley. Score! Lundqvist, Rantanen, Harley to the back of the net. And late in the first, Dallas strikes first.
One thing I did really like about that goal in particular also was, I believe it was ESPN, that one of their bold predictions was Thomas Harley is going to be a Norris Trophy finalist. And so I love that idea that with him and with Miro, you've got defensemen that can also blend that offensive skill to come along with it. And so I thought that was really beautiful. I'm not saying, Corey, that every single Stars game is going to end 5-4.
They only win 5-4.
Yeah, I knew.
Those are facts.
So far, that is true.
That's exactly what I said. I don't understand. Every time I've said it, you act like it's off in some way, and I don't understand. So far, do I need to throw the so far qualifier, or can I just say it the way I said it? They only went 5-4. Prove me wrong.
All right. So you know what's crazy about this? Consider this for a minute. We're going to tie it all together. The Dallas Stars, yes, I see all of your tweets and DMs and now texts. Franklin Frankel, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. Stars right now are on pace to go 82-0-0.
Thank you.
They are also on pace
to never lose again,
to score 410 goals
and also give up.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
So if they score 410 goals, that means they will have the best offense in the league.
And maybe in the history.
Yes. But if they give up 328 goals, it means they'll have the worst defense in the league. Now, can you imagine going through a season where you have the best offense in the league and the worst defense in the league? I can't fathom any team that could possibly happen to.
Right now, the Cowboys currently have the best offense in the league and the worst defense, and like 32 worst defense in the league. Kevin,
let me
ask you this though. Can you imagine going through a season where you have the best defense in the league but the worst offense in the league?
Yes, because that's what happened with the Rangers. How are the Dallas Cowboys and potentially the Stars? Again, I don't think they'll win every game 5-4, but as long as they're winning, who cares? How are the Dallas Cowboys the exact opposite of the Texas Rangers? Texas Rangers went into the season like, oh, we think we got the offense. And they can't do jack squat on offense for most of the year. But their defense, a.k.a., well, their actual defense, and their pitching is phenomenal to a level that we've rarely ever seen. And then you get to the Cowboys, and their offense is phenomenal, and their defense is just the worst. They are the exact antithesis of the Rangers.
Kevin, regarding the Stars, obviously, like, what would your play for tomorrow night's game be?
Baby, you hit
five
that
to four.
You hit that over. I don't. Okay, actually,
like if you were gonna say the chances of going three straight games to start the season winning 5-4,
it feels very unlikely.
Well,
right?
I've crunched the numbers.
Oh, have you? Are you gonna tell me 100% of the time they go 5-4?
I was gonna ask you because I don't. Oh. My numbers, I think, were wrong.
I needed to check what the over under is. And if it's like 5.5, kind of feels like
it's a pivotal game.
Maybe
though.
It's not
for them to go 3-0.
Okay,
it's absolutely pivotal. You can't go 82-0 without being 3-0. So we're almost there. You know, and you know what, Kevin? This is their fun team, though. That's what I love about them. They are a fun team to watch.
I will say that the first 2.5 periods of the first game was fun, and most of the game.
Hey,
against
you
Colorado.
You have to enjoy the other moments too.
I know you don't
only enjoy 5-0.
Look,
but 5-4 can still be fun.
So that Colorado game was super fun if you don't care about big time goalie saves. Although actually that's probably not fair because Ottinger got peppered with shots all night long. That game was fun. The first 2.5 periods of the first game were fun. The last 10 minutes or so were a nightmare. But you did win.
If you're afraid.
I was. By the way, ESPN projected the Dallas Stars to have 94. I was. Projected the Stars to have 94 points this season. And yes, Corey, I know what you'll tell me. Right now, they're on pace for 164 points.
Dude, that'd be amazing if they did that.
Yes, that would most certainly.
I don't think anybody would have expected it.
It would be the most amazing thing in the history of modern sports.
You know what? Maybe you're right.
If they
about
go 82-0-0, that is not going to happen.
You might be right.
But it would be the most amazing thing. And how much did you love Rantanen putting in the game winner in the shootout?
Dude, he is amazing. Like it's nice having him.
For sure.
When you have an elite player, you want to make sure you take care of them, keep them on your roster, keep them happy.
Right.
Do everything you can to make sure that they stay elite on your dime. But you also want to make sure that they play up to their value and that value of what I feel like we're getting in return. Doesn't it feel like this team has, like, we love this Stars team, right? Like we love them. We love the players on this team.
Yes.
Sometimes we think a little too highly of our own, in some regards in a lot of these sports. I think whenever you look at this roster, a lot of hockey looks at it and goes, no, they have a really good roster.
They do.
And they have that guy who can be an elite player. It's nice that you can, you know, he can put that cape on occasionally. But he doesn't have to every night, right?
Yes.
Like this team is one of those where he doesn't have to every night. He might feel like he does, but just be part of this thing, and then whenever it's time for you to do it, do it.
I mean, look, we have referenced numerous players, so you just heard it. I think Thomas Harley has the ability. Probably not as much, but it has the ability to take over games. Certainly, Miro does. We've already talked about, hopefully, the rebirth after a tough playoffs of Wyatt Johnston. This is the biggest season of Jason Robertson's career from a financial perspective. And then even, I know it's strictly in the net, but Ottinger has the ability to take over a game as well. I think you have multiple players on this team that have the ability to take over a game.
I don't think there's any doubt your answer here. But from the 4-6-9, would you rather have the Stars have a perfect season and not win the title, or a mediocre season and win the title?
100% the second one, because the 2023 Texas Rangers exist, where after the first 2 months of the season, they had a mediocre season and then had the greatest run of baseball I've ever seen in my life.
The perfect season would be amazing.
But
like some say that it would be one of the most historic moments in all of sports.
It would.
Modern sports.
And then everyone
some say that.
Would talk about how you S the bed in the playoffs.
But they would also talk about the only perfect season ever would be that. However, You nobody can argue with you about a championship. They can say it was fluky. You can say eat one. You know, like it doesn't matter.
Yes,
like a hamburger. No, eat something. Eat a hockey puck. But you like that's always the deal, right? The Rangers, they won the World Series. Say what you want, doesn't matter. They're champions.
Agreed.
That's all I got to say about that.
Okay. Can you go ahead and give me cut number 12? We're going to do a little bit of a wanker of the weekend right here. And does Oklahoma fit into that category?
Empty backfield. Wisner is far to the left. Manning looking to the left. Zips into the end zone. Touchdown. DeAndre Moore. They turned him loose. He kind of looked the ball into his hands. And Texas is on top for the first time today.
We'll probably, well, we will definitely talk about this more. Yes?
I was right. The first head coach fired in the NFL, Kevin.
Ooh, hold on.
I changed my mind last week. I think on Friday you asked the question.
I'm going to go with Callahan.
Ryan Callahan.
Whoa!
After a brutal start to the season, has been fired.
Yeah, man, that strip sack of Cam Ward in the last minute might have really... done him in.
He called out lots of his quarterbacks along the way and never really took accountability for that. That being said, Will Levis wasn't great, but that team didn't look prepared. They didn't look good. They didn't look like they had the talent to compete in the NFL, and now he is no longer the head coach.
Wow. Okay. Well, welcome to Wanker of the Weekend, Brian Callahan. Have a seat alongside James Franklin. Although, I struggle with this. So James Franklin got fired, right? But his buyout is $56.6 million.
Mm.
So if you get to leave your job and get all of that money, much like Jimbo Fisher before him, are you really the wanker of the weekend? Or are you like, here, do you want to stay in one of my many mansions while I kick back and get paid for nothing?
If I got fired and had $56 million, I wouldn't work for a minute. I would literally tell you I will be on a beach.
Mm.
Do not call me. If you would like to contact Corey Majors, please put a note into a wine bottle and throw it into the damn ocean and hope it gets to me. Cancel my wake-up calls. You're not hearing from me if I'm sitting on $56 million. I don't need anybody else's love that much, except for my wife and kids. But the people, like, don't coaches want to coach? It's in their blood, right?
What if you could only get that $56 million if you left your wife?
This is the reason I'm taking so long is I'm trying to figure out a way to get my wife back and have the money.
Nope.
I've enjoyed my life not having $56 million, and I will continue to enjoy my life.
Oh, man.
Because Adrian, you cannot put a price on her love.
Oh, well, you could, and you said it's more than $56
million. No, I said no. I said I wouldn't even take $56 million.
All right, we'll continue this conversation in the break.
Put that money in front of me.
We'll offer more. And by the way, after Franklin got fired, they lost numerous commits, including the number one running back in the 2027 cycle and a couple of other junior top 300 recruits. Of course, the Cowboys defense goes in wanker of the weekend as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Will the Stars go 82-0? Kevin says no. We ask him why next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.